Okay, because when they come back, you're going to say, a moment ago you said blah, blah, blah. And you want to feed their problem back to them in the exact same words that they used to state the problem. The exact same words. Why? Because we want to, I'm just talking. Why? Because we want to light up the neurology. We need to light up the neural networks. Okay, what I mean by that is kind of like lighting up the lights on a Christmas tree. You want to light up the neurology wherever they had that problem in terms of the boundary conditions of their nervous system. So you need to restate the problem exactly how they stated it so you get the neurology lit up and you get the boundary conditions of that problem lit up. Because remember in quantum linguistics, which is what we're about to go into, client's going to have a problem, and in having that problem, they put boundaries on it, which means that everything else is not problem. So you need to, when they come back, before you deliver your quantum linguistic pattern, you need to relight up the neural networks in that problem. So you do that is by restating the problem exactly the way they said it, and you say, a moment ago you said blank. And then you're going to deliver your solution, or you're going to deliver your quantum linguistics pattern, rather. And how do you generate that pattern? You need to write down their words word for word. Then you send them away. The way you generate the pattern is by looking at all the major presuppositions inherent in the problem itself as you look at that. And then it says structure your response as a question and presuppose a solution in the question. How? By doing a mind read on what solution will work and by asking a question that presupposes it. Then you ask the question. You say, what are you going to do with all that time when you see the toys in place? Or how good will your wife feel when you only get pissed off at the kids? Or how good will your wife feel when the room's clean? Let me give you some other examples of quantum.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
So you're asking, what are you going to do with all that time? So you're presupposing your mind reading that time is going to make him feel happier?
Possibly.
Or your mind reading that his wife will be happy?
Yes. Yes. So you're mind reading the solution, and you're asking them a question which presupposes the solution in the question. By the way, when you do this, you're going to have to do it unconsciously too, because you may not be able to do this completely consciously. And I warned you this in the beginning. I warned you that we were going to be putting you into situations where you would need to trust your unconscious mind. And the exercise we're about to do is one of those. Let's turn to page 210. Those are just the pieces. You might be able to use as. Hold on. Let's turn to page 210. On page 210, it says advanced presuppositions. Here's some other examples how you might use quantum linguistics. It says now construct a solution for each presupposition. For example, number one, if the major presupposition inside the problem statement for the client was a presupposition of existence. For example, if the client says, I have anxiety, that's their presenting problem. You're going to use an evidence challenge with not plus time. This is one way you could do it. So the response could be, when are you sure that it's not there? Client says, I have anxiety. You say, when is it sure that it's not there?
When are you sure that it's not there?
Yeah. Number two, awareness. By the way, what we're doing here is, remember, we talked about this a little bit earlier. We said, what would happen if you go inside? First, you light up the neural, somebody says they have a problem. That puts boundary conditions on the problem itself. Once they know the problem, they also have to know what?
The not problem.
So if you use a language pattern, think about this, fully consider this. If you use a language pattern that goes right inside into the heart of their problem once they've got boundary conditions on it, and what would happen if you used an inductive language pattern, but it was a non-mirror image reverse inductive language pattern? What do you think that would do to the problem? The non-mirror image reverse is the multidimensional neurological opposite of the problem. Not A, not B on the problem. But if you do it, so if you go inside and you use your language in a way which goes inside the problem, once you've got the problem lit up, and then you do a non-mirror image reverse inductive language pattern on the problem, what you're going to do is you're going to blow the boundary conditions out from the inside out and bring them into the not problem, which causes the problem to disappear. Or another way to do it would be to use an inverse or a converse inductive language pattern, which would also bring them to this outside. So what you'll find is this will clearly shake the model of the world of the client up, and it may make the problem, the boundary conditions, the problem dissolve into the nervous system, cause that problem to disappear. So let's keep moving forward. And if you're confused, you're probably right where you're supposed to be. Number two, awareness. So if you notice that the major presuppositional construction in the sentence is awareness, what you're going to do is you're going to paste the presupposition plus switch referential index. You can also add not. Example, client says, I didn't realize that upset you. Response, what you didn't realize was what else you were communicating your upset. Or what you didn't realize was that you were communicating your upset. Another response is, I didn't realize how upset you were. Number three, possibility. If modal operator of impossibility, remember, it's can do the process of not. So client says, I can't stop drinking. You could say, how can you not stop drinking? How can you not stop drinking? If modal operator of necessity, chain it to a modal operator of possibility. For example, can. How can you not stop drinking? Because can't is the process of not. Somebody says, I can't make phone calls. I can't make cold calls. How can you not make cold calls?
So basically,
you're doing the blue tree thing. Kind of, yeah. Number four, cause and effect. Take the opposite, paste it to the limit, and use a counterexample with a referential index switch to the solution. For example, so if the major presuppositional construction is cause and effect, they say, example, my wife never has dinner done. That means she doesn't love me. You could say, how much will you have to eat so that she knows she loves you? Well, I mean, you got to think about it.
It rattles their cage.
Yeah, it shakes up their model of the world. My wife never has dinner done. That means she doesn't love me. How much will you have to eat so that she knows she loves you? So that she knows. Let's turn to page 211. Cause and effect. Once again, switch position, chunk up effect, switch referential index, and do a not on the cause. Example, my wife doesn't understand me. You could say, what is it that you don't totally understand in yourself that causes you to think that she doesn't understand you? Are you being stretched? Are you having to reach down inside and find something that you didn't know you had? That's right, it is. And you know what that means, don't you? This is number six, time. Since time is a nominalization, you can use the decision destroyer. Example, somebody says, I regret my decision. You say, when did you decide that? And before regretting it, what were you deciding? Shaking up the client's model of the world is a good thing to do before the new order is placed. You guys know about Pregoni, don't you? Pregoni, oh, you need to know about Pregoni. Pregoni says, yikes, we'll just let those old cops fall away. Pregoni says, yes, Pregoni says that whenever entropy occurs, that at some point, like if there's entropy, or let's call it chaos, whenever chaos is occurring, because you guys could probably relate to that a little more. Whenever entropy occurs, at some point there's what we call a bifurcation point. At which point, there's either more entropy. Here's entropy. Or new order. So whenever entropy occurs or chaos occurs, at some point there's going to be a bifurcation point, at which point there's either more entropy or a new order. So confusion's a good thing.
Well, unless you keep going down to more entropy.
Unless you keep going down to more entropy.
Right, and then eventually you get to new order.
And then eventually you get to new order, yeah. So so, number eight, chunk up to a common intent, which gives you a mind read. If the major presuppositional construction is or, actually we skip number seven. Number seven is, if the major presuppositional construction is adjective adverb,